Here's the news in 60 seconds from yumadailynews.com. September has been recognized as National Suicide Prevention Month. The suicide hotline has changed its number. Anyone can now call 988 for the Suicide Crisis Lifeline. The Lifeline provides 24/7 free and confidential support for people in distress and prevention and crisis resources for you or your loved one. President Biden has been pushing to build public trust with police by saying, when it comes to public safety, the answer is to not defund the police, it's to fund the police. More info, yumadailynews.com. Over the last week, Yuma Fire responded to just under 300 emergency calls. About 15 of the calls were due to car crashes. Read more about the emergency calls on the website. A sex offender has been arrested after Border Patrol found the man and three other migrants trying to illegally enter the U.S. The man was also a convicted felon. Jail time will be served. Read more about the arrest, yumadailynews.com. For the latest local and state stories, go to yumadailynews.com. I'm Kendra White.
We're in early September and we remain hot. Close to seasonal averages today as we get up to around 105. Still seeing some excessive heat warnings out there. We've got sunshine. Heat index values as high as 113. Now for tonight, clear, overnight low 84. Wind south-southeast may top 20 to 25 miles per hour. Saturday brings sunshine, 107. Heat index values as high as 111. And then close to 110 with sunshine for Sunday. Hot on Labor Day, 111 to 115. Jeff Eno at the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, good morning. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Agerberg, Russ Clark in studio, 8:05 on a very humid, very humid.
You think?
Oh, I mean, very humid.
Yeah, I know.
I got out of my car and my glasses immediately fogged over. I wasn't sure if I was having a stroke.
This is what Tampa's like every day, though.
Oh,
see, when I lived in Tampa, it was like that every day, but I loved it. I didn't know any different.
But you had great skin, right?
No.
Isn't that the thing?
I just was always wet. Okay. But it was like, and I didn't know that it was humid. It just was. And then I didn't understand why people would move to the West Coast and pay exorbitant rates until I moved to San Diego. I said, wow, this is nice.
Yeah.
You know,
it's cooler. There's no humidity.
There's no humidity and all that kind of stuff. But I still didn't like San Diego. I mean, just politically and stuff.
It's hot and humid out there. So everybody, you know.
Be careful.
Be careful. This is one of those days, again, excessive heat warnings for the next, really all weekend.
Probably a weekend, yeah. Don't dig a hole in the ground.
Stay hydrated today. And stay cool and just watch your kids. So lots to talk about. And, you know, we're just kind of talking about all kinds of weird stuff on the last segment.
The whole world's full of weird stuff.
More than
ever.
So let's talk about weird stuff. Sometimes we got to get people's psychology correct. They're just what they're thinking needs to be maybe nudged a little bit or redirected.
I agree, especially... I think we're, as a country, we're propagandizing so much to everybody. I don't know how the average person takes it all in.
I don't know that either. And at the same time, I think part of it is we have these maybe estimations of what certain things are, but we don't understand how it really works. Like, again, if I said, what was a gallon of gasoline a year ago?
$2.
$2. Cool. What is it now?
$4.
Okay. So can you still sell me gas at $2 like it was a year ago? You know, and we all understand because we drive by the pumps every day and see that the gas prices change each and every day.
They do.
And had a gentleman I talked to yesterday, and this is where sometimes we got to get people's mindset to see what the big picture is. And most people don't understand how Wall Street works or how bonds are sold or what that real engine is financially.
Yes, it's foreign. That's real foreign.
But we went through the pre-qualification with him about a year ago. And he said, no, timing's not right to buy. Now, where were interest rates a year ago? In the 3s, right?
Yeah.
And now if I said anecdotally, where do you think interest rates are for somebody who's got mediocre credit, not great credit, mediocre credit? What do you think?
I think everybody's credit is probably hurt a little bit now because...
But in terms of an interest rate, where do you think interest rates might be for somebody with mediocre credit?
Oh, going up like bad.
Okay, so high fives, maybe even low sixes?
Yes, in that area. Okay. I've heard six.
So doubled, right?
Yeah.
And we sat down, went through the pre-qual process, and he goes, well, Derek, this is less money I'm pre-qualifying for than last year, but my income went up. And I'm like, yeah, because the interest rate has doubled. And he turned and he goes, well, why are you charging me double interest? I'm like,
Why are you charging?
No, no. I'm not charging you double interest. This is what Wall Street and the market puts out. And let's go through. Here's a bond chart. Here's where you act. I mean, I'll happily show everybody how those things work. But he's convinced that if you could buy it at X, it will always be X. And so he thinks he should still have a, you know, low three interest rate, even though the market has changed over the last year. And I went down so many roads with him, and I even said, hey, what did you pay for a gallon of gasoline in that nice car that you bought out there? And said, here's what he thinks he paid. I said, what was it a year ago? He goes, well, that's different. Gasoline prices change.
Well, so does interest rate. Well,
but
he didn't understand that?
He didn't understand. And we had a long conversation. I think he finally understood. But that is one of those misconceptions that people just assume, hey, what's your rate? Well, the rate depends on how much you're putting down, what your credit score is, when you buy, whether the property is owner-occupied, second home, investment property, is it a site-built home, is it manufactured, is it a condo? There's all kinds of things that go into this. And that gentleman said, well, I think rates are too high. Okay. I think I'm going to wait, and I'm going to go rent until interest rates come back down to 3.
He's got that freedom to do that.
And he has that freedom.
For the next 30 years.
But in if you said historically...
Three doesn't exist. Doesn't exist.
And what I tried to explain to him is, look, the reason that we were in the threes interest rates is the Federal Reserve, basically your rich uncle with the unlimited checkbook, was buying almost every bond that was created. So that's why the Fed currently has $8 trillion worth of bonds sitting on its balance sheets. And that's both residential mortgage and commercial paper and even some junk bonds at some points. But $8 trillion worth of bonds your rich uncle bought. Now, rich uncle buys, that drives price up or down.
Oh.
Drives price way up, yeah. Which means the rate of return to you and I as a consumer drops like a rock. So because we had a problem and because we've had some economic issues in this country, that's why the Federal Reserve stepped in. And we used to call it cutesy sayings like quantitative easing, yeah. QE2, QE3. Nope,
nobody knew what that was.
Nobody knew what that was, but it sure sounds good because then, you know, the average person on the street says, oh, quantitative easing.
Yeah, which is very technical. It sounds technical.
It sounds amazingly technical. That's like when Alan Greenspan says irrational exuberance. Remember that phrase?
I do, but I can't remember what context.
But see, that you know, we hear these catchphrases and all of a sudden that becomes what we talk about. So this gentleman... who qualified a year ago in the threes, now still qualifies today. And you and I know home prices have risen in the last year. Huh. Interest rates have doubled, so the payment is more. He is firmly convinced he's going to go back and he's going to rent for another year. And his plan is he thinks he's going to rent for a year to a year and a half, and then by then interest rates should be cut in half. And that's not going to happen.
Well, you can show him... but it won't resonate for a year when he realizes you were right.
So
I think he won't wait till it's three. I think he'll get an education and eventually, you know, his outlook will be modified.
Unfortunately, there are some, you know, again, what's the old saying? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
That's exactly right.
So
all you can do is caution him and he'll have to figure it out for himself in about a year.
Sometimes the smartest people you know, and no disrespect to the engineer mindset, but sometimes the smartest people you know get into this analysis paralysis and they never do anything.
Yep.
And his career is an engineering type. Won't tell you what kind, but he's an engineering type. And so he's been renting now for his entire adult life.
Waiting on the right time.
Never owned a home. Waiting for what is perceived at the right time. Now, do you ever know when the right time is?
No.
No, not unless you look backwards.
But you can, I mean, I don't know, you've been on this show with me, you know, you've been doing this show for years, and I know we've sat in here for the last couple of years saying, my God, this is great. Do it right now. You know, yeah. You've been saying that. You know when you're in a really remarkable good time, and we had that up until a few months ago, and it's changing. But if you need a house today, it's still a good time. If you need a house to get a house, it's just the parameters have changed.
It's still a great time to buy, but all of it, look, I don't care what's going on in the economy. I don't care where interest rates are. I don't even care what home prices are. You need to sit down with a budget and say, what can I afford? Right. And then you get to decide, look, I'm either going to pay a mortgage or I'm going to pay a mortgage, but it's somebody else's mortgage called rent. So right. He's been renting his entire adult life. And even when I said, hey, do you know how many years you've paid a mortgage? He goes, well, no, I rent. I don't pay a mortgage. I said, well, what's interesting is you've been renting as an adult for 11 years now. That means you've actually paid one third of a mortgage off. You've paid somebody's mortgage.
He didn't realize it was a trick question.
It was a trick question. But there's so many of those things out there that we just have to nudge people's mindset a little bit. And had he bought, let's say, last year, and he lived in the home for 29 more years, I'm pretty sure it would be free and clear when he's ready for retirement.
Yes.
You know, that simple thing. It's like, yes. Look, whether you think you can save $20 or $100 on your interest rate, or you try to buy the home cheaper at some point, you got to start, and you got to start making the payments and say, right. You know what? I just want this thing free and clear. And right. your family is a great example of that. When was that home in Florida purchased?
1979.
Okay.
And they paid way too much. Like $60,000. And my dad was like, holy crap. But it was the house they wanted. It's what they wanted.
But they wanted, and then they started, and they just moved forward.
Well, they paid it off. They paid it off early. They, you know, it was a 30-year mortgage, but they made extra payments, and they paid it off before 2000, like 1999 or something, you know.
Took a chance.
Paid it off in 20 instead of 30.
Paid it off. Yeah. Done. And so he could have said, you know what? The timing isn't right. Prices are too high. I don't like it.
So he paid it off 22 years ago. And I just sold it for $465,000. Wow. $400,000 more than what he sold it, but he bought it for. But he had done some upgrades. He put a pool in, and you know he did some upgrades and stuff.
And that's kind of the time value of money. So let's talk about inflation. You know, do you and I love inflation?
Yeah.
No. But yeah, when something appreciates, we call it appreciation.
Oh, I was going to say, I love inflation if I own a bunch of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, some of these things that are going to be a hedge against inflation is, do you own a property? Do you lock in a purchase price? Do you lock in a payment where your payment is never going to change? And that's the other thing that I try to get this gentleman to understand is, look at, rents are up 30% in Arizona in the last year.
Oh, my God.
Has your rent gone up? He goes, yeah, my rent has gone up. Weirdly enough, if you had a 30-year fixed payment, it wouldn't go up unless your insurance agent or the county taxing authority raised both of those.
And it wouldn't have been 30%.
And it wouldn't have been 30%. So we'll talk about that and way more after the break. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggeberg, Russ Clark in studio talking money talk. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I have to say, and we talked about doing this for years and years, your music selection is way better now than it used to be. So keep that up.
I can't
do
it during my show, though. Because,
why not?
Well, because I simulcast on YouTube, and it's copyrighted. And even though I'm a station, I'm legally, I can play this stuff because we pay the royalties and everything on it. YouTube doesn't see it that way because it just picks it up with the bots will pick it up as copyrighted, and
well, you talked about an AI thing in our last show.
That's what they
do. So you just need to find an AI to rewrite one of these songs that is just different enough. Just don't be
believe it or not, that's available. Well, there's a lot of non-copyrighted material
just
out there.
Don't be the Vanilla Ice that added one little thing to a song and then got
they'll catch that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, so I've got, you know, it was sad for me, because particularly with Christmas coming up, because I like doing the Christmas stuff, I won't be able to, not on my show, because...
Well, we can on my show.
Yeah,
so we'll do Christmas music on my show.
We're not putting it on YouTube and Twitter and...
Well, why not?
Well, because then we couldn't play the music.
Oh, whatever. Come on. You got to figure out, come up with an AI way around this, would you?
I'll try, but right now...
3D print something to make this thing work,
would you? I have been put in the doghouse many times...
So let's talk about mindset with mortgages, mindset with home ownership, mindset with real estate. That guy is one of the intelligent people and just needs a little bit of a nudge. And then you see some other people that just they get told a plan and they follow a plan. And you look backwards 20 years and you go, oh, my gosh, they were so lucky. No, they just took a little bit of action.
Look at my dad. You know, my dad, strictly blue collar, strictly just knew that home ownership was right because his dad told him it was how home ownership was right. And they went out and did that and sacrificed, you know, like no eating out, no doing stuff to make sure they got the mortgage because it was a $60,000 home. And look what it did for him. It gave him, they paid it off 20 years after they bought it. They had they lived in it. Basically free, had was able to retire early and did all the right stuff, and at his passing, you know, the family was kind of shocked, like I didn't know dad accumulated that kind of money.
There you go.
You know, but he just didn't spend,
and part of it is just a long-term get rich slow scheme, right?
But he was just looking for security. He wasn't looking for money, he was looking for security.
There you go. So let's talk about leverage.
Yeah.
Now, leverage.
Bad word.
No. Why is it a bad word?
Well, a lot of people use it like, well, you know, oh, I got this kind of money, I can leverage something. You know, don't do that.
Well, let's talk about home ownership.
Okay.
If you're going to be a conventional homeowner, owner occupied, how much percentage wise do you typically think people put down?
Well, right now it's probably 20%, but previously probably 5 to 10.
Okay, so the typical conventional buyer is either 20% to get rid of your mortgage insurance, or you put 5% down and then you pay the monthly mortgage insurance.
Right.
But so really what you're doing, let's say a 5% down deal, you're putting 5% down, you're borrowing 95%, you get to lock in your purchase price, and you get a 30-year fix. So your payments are never going to change, right?
Right.
We agree with that.
Right.
So what happens, and conversely compared to this guy we talked about, had another couple come in on Monday. Now, I've known them for, this is now 5+ years, coming up on 6.
and they listened to me about 6 years ago. They're coming in to buy their third house.
Okay.
Now, first house, they went FHA. They put 3.5% down. They lived in it for about a year and a half. Then they bought a new home, owner-occupied, conventional, 5% down, turned the other home into a rental. Great. They've been there just at 3 years. Now they're going to come in, buy a new home. Guess how much they're going to put down? 5%. They're going to turn the other one into a rental property, which is completely correct, above board, legal, legitimate. When you buy an owner-occupied home, you need to be in there for about 12 months, minimum 12. Most people could be in there, you know, 1, 2, 3 years. But they're going to be in a 6-year period into their third home. They're going to turn the first one's already a rental. The second one will become a rental after they move out.
So how is their experience of renting? Is it a pleasant experience? Are they working with brokers and professionals? They have property managers. Is it a cash flow that takes care of itself?
It can be both. So in their case, they are positive cash flow, and clearly the rental increases over the last couple of years have helped anybody. But they are positive cash flow. They, on their tax returns, believe it or not, and again, there's only really three reasons to own residential real estate, is you want to make money monthly, you want tax write-offs, or you want equity appreciation with principal reduction, so you're building your net worth. Those are the only three. And typically, you're going to have two of the three. You can never really have three of the three. Why do I say that? Because if you're going to get tax write-offs, you're not cash flowing really, really well.
Yeah.
If you're cash flowing really, really well,
you're paying taxes.
Then you're paying taxes.
That's where I want to be.
So, but
I want to pay as much taxes as possible.
Absolutely. So in their case, it's this stair step up, little by little by little. Now, at the end of year six, when they've bought this home now, let's say this one's going to be about 300. Their first one was 150. Their second one was about 220. Now, let's pretend nothing goes up in value. 150 and 220, I'm pretty good in math. That's 370, right? At the end of 30 years, they're going to have $370,000 worth of equity if they don't go up in value.
Right.
Okay, that's a third of $1 million.
It'll be paid off by the renters.
Paid off by the renters that they're just starting their own business little by little.
That's what it is. It's a business.
That's separate from anything else. And that's why I say, the gentleman that I talked to last night, I can't get him to understand that it's not about the rate. It's about fixing the purchase price and structuring the debt where it's never going to change. And they, with their, again, mentally, I think they're smarter because they're making the decisions. But in terms of an education level, they're not at his level in terms of a, you know, book education degree level. But yet they're willing to make the move. And at the end of 6 years, not 370, but this home is going to be 300. They're going to own $670,000 worth of real estate. They're going to put 3%, then 5%, then 5% down. Two of the three are going to be paid for by somebody else. And they're just trying to maintain a business and take care of it really well. So, you know, when something breaks, they fix it. Their property manager does it. And if they continue on this path, how many more times can they do this for the next 30 years?
Well, they're going to do it 15 more times.
That would be aggressive. I would love to see that for them.
Every 2 years.
But, you know, they're probably going to do an owner-occupied maybe one or two more times, because there comes a point at which, okay, you're buying a big home and the previous big home just behind that isn't a great rental. But they'll probably do it two or three more times. And then they get into the, hey, put 20% down and buy rental properties and things like that. But it's just starting like your family did back in Florida. You just have to take the steps. So the reason I say that is, right now, and I went back for the last 60 days, if I said, what percentage of my customers do you think are from non-Yuma residents? They're people from outside of Yuma moving in.
God,
percentage
of customers? I would say half. No, at this point, probably 50%.
Well, you're more aggressive than I thought you'd be. We're about a third.
So a third?
A third of our customers are people who don't currently live in Yuma, Arizona, that are moving this way. Now, when you look at some of the nationwide economic reviews, and you Google the Bowtie Economist, he's got some great stuff on this. But you talk about what's happening nationwide, and here's some high-level things. Total mortgage demand drops 1.2%, hovering at a 22-year low. But the demand is still higher than the historical average, but the demand has dropped to a 22-year low. Pending home sales drop 1% in July. Okay, but they're still at a good
1%
pace.
1% is not that much.
So you see these nationwide headlines that scare most people, but now you have to look at micro environments like a Yuma, Arizona, or a Apache Junction. You know, you look at these micro environments and say, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? People from California, Washington, Oregon, about a third of our customers are people moving this direction that go, oh my gosh, look at how amazingly affordable this community is as compared to they're living in a three-bedroom, two-bath, no garage for $1.2 million over there, which, you know, I don't know how anybody affords that.
I don't know.
So you look and say, well, wait a minute. I don't see home prices crashing anytime soon, you know, in certain micro environments. Could there be nationwide corrections? Maybe. But do we have an overabundance of supply?
No.
No. And if you look at, here's another headline, U.S. housing starts fall 9.6% in July, missing expectations. Okay, housing starts fell 10%. Doesn't mean they're 10% under. It means they slowed just about 10% in July.
And you've seen the boom in the last 5 years. They've gone way up.
Boom in the last 5 years. You've got supply chain issues. You have labor issues, and you have some nervousness in the market. But when you look at micro environments like a Yuma in Apache Junction,
and historically, when the markets get hit, we don't get hit as hard, and then we don't come back as strong either. You know, we're a little slow on that, but that makes it just more stable. It's just a little more stable.
So go back in statistical data. What are home prices in Arizona? Over the last year, home prices appreciation rates in the last 12 months are up about 24%.
That's just crazy.
Which is way too high.
Just nuts.
In the last 5 years, Arizona appreciation, and we're not the highest in the nation. In the last 5 years, Arizona appreciation is up just under 100%. But since 1991, it's literally what you talked about with your family in Florida. Since 1991, Arizona appreciation is up 491%.
And that's what it is in Tampa, Florida. You know, it was one of the big numbers.
So what you just said is it's not, this weirdo pocket of appreciation. Nationwide, we hate things called inflation when it comes to gas and milk and bread, but we love inflation when it's called appreciation because we appreciate when our houses go up in value.
Yeah, we do. You take a break.
Hey, let's talk. Hey, I appreciate you taking a break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC. An SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, 8:33 on a very hot and humid Friday morning. Don't like it.
Damn it.
Couldn't sit outside with a cup of coffee this morning. Just not right.
Yeah, you're banging on the door like a homeless guy.
Well,
I had to get up and get you.
It's sunny outside. There's nobody scary around this place. Just leave the door open, would you?
I thought he was afraid he was going to break out in a sweat. I had to run out there. You know?
I was breaking out in a sweat. I was going to go back in my car and start it, sit in the air conditioner, and leave me out there for that long. Although guys like you probably like it because you want me sitting there running my AC so then it breaks faster.
I appreciate when you tear something up.
You know,
I do.
Never mind. I won't even go down that road.
Air conditioning has been taking a beating lately. I have 3 air conditioning machines. We've been very, very busy with them.
Which I wish you'd turn them on because most of your staff says you're cheap and you just won't.
Air conditioners. Air conditioning machines to test yours, to check and fix yours.
And let me guess, running 24/7 at this point almost?
No. No, they're not running that much, but they're in heavy use.
I can't imagine. And you know, it's the same every year. You have people that take care of their vehicles and get them checked early. And, you know, when would you personally rather see them? Would you rather see them now at the end of August, early September? Or would you rather see them in April or May and just double check systems?
I'd rather see them on a schedule or when something little happens, like your light comes on to tell you to, you know, there's a warning or something, you know. What's interesting is people will come in and say that, the light came on like 8 months ago, and then I heard a grinding sound, but it eventually started slowing down. It wouldn't let me go fast. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, that's kind of a fusing of metal in there. That's probably not a good one.
Yeah, really? You know, you waited that long. That's up to them.
But look at how, you know, again, I love that we're always trying to make things a little bit better. You put those warning lights on the dashboard, and we've gotten so used to them that people drive with the warning lights on, and they just don't do anything.
Oh, they do, and then we replace engines and transmissions. Amazingly, you know, there's been people just 15 miles out of town, and their car overheats, and they get a warning light. They say, I can make it.
Absolutely.
Well, they almost did. Yeah, they ended up being on a hook anyway. Only difference is it's a new engine instead of a new fan. Yeah.
But you almost made it.
You almost made it. Yeah, but your engine blew up.
So why do people ignore those warning lights and bells and chimes? Because
normally there's something minor, and if it's something minor, it's not going to cause catastrophic results. It's just going to be inefficiencies, and they'll continue on. So they get used to like ignoring it.
Can you, you know, again, you're in the auto industry, I'm in the mortgage industry. Can you see that though, even without a warning light? Is it miles per gallon? If your miles per gallon is going down, if you actually pay attention to it.
Well, the car runs rougher, doesn't idle right. It does all kinds of stuff.
So,
but they still made it to work.
Makes sense to me. You know, because every car is going to heal itself, like your body, right?
They don't
automatically get better at some point?
It wears out. There's things that wear out. New cars, old cars, doesn't matter. They're going to need a little bit of TLC.
So what I'm hearing you say is you should pay attention when the warning lights and bells and chimes come on.
I'll quote a dentist that I like. He says, only floss the ones you love. You know, the ones you want to keep. And I'd say, yeah, only bring in the cars you like that you want to keep.
Which, similarly, from my perspective, mortgage, finance, credit. Yeah. Look, there's a lot of warning lights and bells and chimes out there, but some people just don't pay attention to it.
And the time to work on your credit is now, not the day that you need it. I mean, if you see something coming, like, I know I want to buy a house in a couple of years, you better be in now talking about it, saying, what do I need to straighten out? What do I need to do in order to make sure that I have a clear pathway?
Mm-hmm. So, and you're 100% right. I don't care what credit scores are. You know, it's like back in the old days, you used to fish and you say, I caught a fish this big, right? Yeah. Wasn't that the story? And now everybody goes, hey, I got a 780 credit score. And then Russ Clark goes, well, I got an 800 credit score. And it's the biggest fish story about what a credit score is.
And for me, it's meaningless.
Nobody cares what a credit score is until you need something at that exact moment.
Right.
But the warning bells, it's not the credit score. Now, you've got apps like, you know, Mint and Credit Karma and things like that. But that's not the warning bell. The warning bell is, do you do a one-page budget? Do you save, you know, if you said, hey, I'm going to save 10% of my income every month and it went down to 5%, would that be a warning bell? And some people will say, well, I'm still saving 5%. And other people would go, oh my gosh, my savings went down by 50%. Maybe I should pay attention to it. That warning bell comes up.
Are you a big believer that you should net more money every month than what you spend?
You know, it's the weirdest thing, but yeah.
Are you like that?
I expect to save money into an account.
You want more money coming in than going out?
It's the weirdest thing because the zero-sum game is if you have less money coming in than you have going out, at some point, there's nothing left in there, and then you're in trouble.
Of course, once you get to that point, they just BNPL, you know, buy now, pay later and stuff. Think, well, I'll get by because I could still get new stuff, and it's only going to cost me $5 a minute.
Isn't that interesting? That
they do. I mean, it's.
But we've gotten to the point that credit is so easy. And again, I'm one of the guys that gives people credit. Now, it's interesting. Yeah. In our industry, it's amazingly difficult. You know, it's going to take 30 days and give me your pay stubs and your bank statements and your tax returns. And I have to legally prove your ability to repay. That's what my license is held to.
But those other guys.
But you can go get a car in 37 minutes.
Yeah.
You can be a student with no history of income and go get student loans. You can go get 24% interest rate credit cards in about three clicks of a button. You know, again, there and look, there's some great people in all those industries. But there is a ability to repay in our industry that you can't just buy now, pay later. But as a society, look how easy it's gotten to be, hey, let's go get the 85-inch big screen TV. Hey, let's go get the convertible sports car. Hey, let's go get the boat and razors. And
that's where credit card score comes in and everything. They say, oh, my credit score just got higher. I can go buy something
more
and bring it down. Because
it really should be cash flow, not credit score, that determines that.
So that's why I said, that's why to me, when you said leverage, it's always a bad word. Because they leverage it wrong. It's like, okay, I've got capability to spend money at Best Buy because you know, I paid something off. That's not the right thing to
do. No. Yeah. So emotional leverage in jumping to something, no. Tactical leverage, absolutely.
Very good.
So when you talk to a business owner, most business owners, in my experience, are not paying 100% cash.
No.
They're leveraging something somehow. So you're purposefully leveraging something based on financials and analysis and data that proves that you can support that amount of debt and still have a positive cash flow.
Correct.
You know, the person who goes, oh my gosh, I'm going to leverage to the hilt and I hope next month, next year, next decade, we're cash flow positive. No, that's not really a good way to go, because if you can't support the leverage now, you're in trouble. But from a homeowner's perspective, the secret is you don't have to pay 100% for a house. You put 5% down, you put 10% down, you may even put 20% down. But you're leveraging.
And that's a leverage that you're going to come out of and make money on. Earn equity, you know, and not pay more than you would have rent anyway. That all makes sense. But when you start getting to the couch and the refrigerator and everything else, those are depreciable assets that are write-offs. And you pay a ton more for them.
Now, it's so funny that you said that. So I had my kids, and I, you know, again, I'm sure my kids are going to need decades of psychological help later.
Poor kids.
But I ask them to read a book every month, and I pay them to read a book because that's the only way my kids would actually do it.
Oh, so allowance is
that's
tied to the book reading.
Conditional of that.
There's nothing wrong
and
with
that. So this last month, I had them read Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad book.
I like that book.
Okay. So, you know, getting into the adult level books and talking about things. And we had, here's the deal. You got to read the book. Once a month, we're going to read a book. Last day of the month, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the book. And you ask me questions and I'm going to ask you questions. And the depreciating versus appreciating asset conversation came up. And we had a great discussion. And we kind of pointed at things. And hey, that TV, depreciating asset. Hey, that car, depreciating asset. House we live in, appreciating asset. And you start talking about things that, you know, why can't we get all of the 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds to learn some of these simple concepts? I didn't learn about it when I was 15, 16, 17.
Me either.
You didn't.
No.
And wouldn't you and I have been better for it had we learned some of these and had somebody just kind of nudging us in the right direction?
Most anything would have been an improvement for me, yes. Well,
still would at this point. But, you know, again, we had some really good discussions.
Good for you.
My youngest, well, maybe. Like I say, I haven't gotten the psychologist bill at this point.
Do they roll their eyes at you now, or are they actually getting engaged?
It's still a little of both. I mean, some of it is like, okay, Dad, we know, Dad, those kind of discussions. But, like, my youngest is saying, well, Dad, you know, can we go do things? Can we start looking for some businesses? And he named a few to look at. I'm like, cool, bud. Here's what I want you to do. Go search online. Google as much as you can. Go find some white papers on these businesses. Go tell me how it would be. Sit down with a piece of paper and sketch what you think some costs are and some revenue is and some expenses. Mm-hmm. And they've seen my one-page budget, and I've actually made them, separate discussion, I've made them pretend they were young adults living in an apartment. Here's what you'd make if you were earning minimum wage. Here's what you have coming in. Now let's write out your budget. You know, insurance on the car. Oh, you want cable? Okay, let's add this in. Oh, you still want that expensive iPhone? Let's put that in.
Oh.
And made them go through and, oh, wow, you have this much left for food. How much did we just spend last night at dinner? Kind of a discussion. And so they've been, I don't want to say programmed, but they've seen these things before. And so my youngest, I made him go do that. And I said, here's the deal. Saturday, so tomorrow, sit down and show me what you've done. I don't know if he's done any research on that or not, but it'll be interesting to see if he actually did any research for the businesses that he talked about.
Oh, yeah. I would be intrigued by that if they did. Yeah, that'd be great.
You know, it's just an interesting thing that, like I say, from my seat on the bus, your seat on the bus is different. Everybody else who's listening to this, their seat on the bus is different. From my seat on the bus, especially as a mortgage guy who talks credit and income.
Other families can have a different one. Like if I buy a kilo of cocaine, no, that would be a whole different story.
That would be a much different discussion.
That's not a business I would want to get involved in.
I don't think that one would turn out quite
as... stick with the mortgages.
Yeah, let's stick with the mortgage, and we're going to cut you off. Let's take another break. This is Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first.
It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Good morning, Yuma. Derek Eggeberg, Russ Clark, talking money talk and just random stuff that comes up. And
that's the way life is. It's random.
It is random, and
it happens.
Weirdly enough, there's no perfectly concrete plan.
I'm an operations manager, which means I have a plan to get done during the day, but I also recognize there's going to be a lot, because I deal with customers and everything else, a lot of non-planned. You got to be on top of your game, ready to
squeaky wheels, take care of things. Light on the dashboard.
Well, absolutely, but that's part of business. That is part of business.
So you get to juggle. It's always like the guy who's spinning seven plates in the air.
And what would I do without it? I mean, that is
you would drive your daughter and granddaughter miserably.
Yeah, myself too. But it's a joyful part of my day to those challenges.
What? Okay, so if you said, hey, the most fun thing you do daily is what?
Solutions.
Okay.
Solutions for the things when there's a feeling like there's no solution, we can't get this done, I'm not going to be able to make my meeting, I can't get this car on the road, I can't make it to this destination, whatever that is. I said, stop a minute. And finding that solution, when I go, oh my God, I didn't think of that. You know, I mean, those are the mental gymnastics of, you know, checking my Rolodex experience and everything else on, let's see what we can do.
There you go. So similarly, my most fun thing, it's not the paperwork, it's not the, you know, that's oh my boring. Gosh, it's sitting.
That's routine.
It's sitting down with somebody and saying, okay, let's have a good conversation and let's see if we can make a difference. And watching the light bulb come on and seeing, like, the second person we talked about, that couple that's going to be on their third home in 6 years, you can see the light bulb turned on and you've made a difference. And, you know, I hope that generationally that's going to change the trajectory of that family, because now they understand what home ownership and real estate investing is. Hopefully they teach their kids what that is. And, you know, they kind of come from a family that had some pushback with ownership and moving. And there's a whole group of people here
and they're based on life experience. And some people, that's the way they grow up, and that's their comfort. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so breaking through, that's the toughest.
That is probably the most enjoyment I get from a business perspective. You know, I love hanging out with my kids and stuff
doing
family things. They're okay. Yeah. Except when I make them read books that they're, like I say, they're going to hate me for life. But, you know, it's that, how do we have that conversation to say, okay, gang, real estate is a game changer. And if you understand the Monopoly board, you know, you're going around. Now, how long is a game of Monopoly?
Hours.
And there's times you just want to beat your head against the wall because it's just taking forever.
There's short versions.
No, there's not. There's no short version.
Sure there are.
But it takes hours and hours to play the game of Monopoly until there's a winner. And that's that same thing with real estate. This is a long game. It's not a get rich quick, I flipped this and made a gazillion dollars. It's just a
there's instant results in that your daily, monthly life is better for making that long term game. you know, you're gonna get rewards tomorrow. Moving from rental to ownership, yep. Your rewards are instantaneous, but long term they're phenomenal.
And I will say you're 100% right. And I always, here's the asterisk: if you make good tactical decisions, not an emotional decision. You know, again, let's say you are going to buy, you're renting a $1,000 a month apartment and you can afford it. Let's say you can qualify for something. But if you're renting a $1,000 a month apartment and you go buy a $500,000 home and the payments, let's say, I don't know, $3,500 a month. If you weren't saving $2,500 a month when you were living in the apartment, probably a bad tactical decision. Now, let's say you were renting a home for $1,800 a month. And you were showing that you could save a couple $1,000s a month. Okay, going and buying a new home that's $2,500 a month, $700 more, eats into some of the savings, but not all of it. Probably a pretty good tactical decision. That simple yes or no thing is where I wish most of the people who came in would know their budget and just make a good tactical decision. Because, and not just for me, I think for most lenders in this industry, the hardest part is, we as an industry have been commoditized to the fast food fry clerk that goes, would you like fries with that?
No.
You know, because the consumer hasn't been taught, hey, I need to have a conversation with somebody who understands it, who's going to treat me well and make sure I'm okay. They literally just shop for who's got the cheapest whatever. You know, again, you and I have talked about it. Is there a slippery slope? You talked about oil changes and batteries and tires. Mm-hmm. Can everybody sell the tire cheaper?
Oh, possibly.
On any given day. I mean, let's talk about gasoline. Yesterday, there was a station here in town that sold gasoline ridiculously cheap.
$3.29. I didn't understand. I drove by. I was like, what the hell?
I don't understand why they're doing. They got gasoline was cheap. They had security guards at every station. It's the weirdest thing to me, but for whatever reason, that slippery slope was, here's some cheap gas, I'm assuming to get people in to buy drinks and chips and other stuff. But there's always somebody who can sell it cheaper. There will always be somebody who can sell it cheaper. And if you find it cheaper in one place, if you keep looking, there will be another cheaper. That slippery slope is, the consumer forgot that they need to ask questions, because that cheaper 5-year adjustable interest rate is probably not the right thing for you, but it sure does appear cheaper.
Well, it's cheaper for the first few months.
But they don't ask those questions. And that's why I say is,
doesn't stay cheaper.
You know, the most fun I have all day long is just, I mean, really, second most fun I have all day long is coming in here and talking this stuff, because you get to have a conversation where I think in the business sector, lots of conversations disappeared. You don't have a good conversation. I know you guys, when a customer comes in, you get to have lots of conversations with that guy in your waiting area or outside talking about the car, and you get to know him a little bit.
Oh, I take them home.
Wait, what are you saying? You drive them home.
I drive them home. Okay. But look, if they come in and they got to drop the car off, I said, well, let me just take you home. We'll call you when it's ready. And then I get to talk to them.
Now, you don't do that on your bike, though.
No, I do not do it on the bicycle.
That would be a really uncomfortable ride.
Really horrible. But that way, I really get to know their shopping habits. What are they looking for? Talk a little bit about the mission of our business and all those kind of things. It's really very helpful to the business. I really get them alone for a minute.
And those customers then value you as a person, not as a commodity.
And I get to understand what their real needs are and what they really are looking for, what they like about our business. And then they generally will write up reviews and all that. I mean, our reviews have been tremendous.
So, you know, again, from my perspective, my seat on the bus, if there's one thing that I try to explain to my customers is, look, I don't care who you use for, let's say, your insurance, your tax preparing, your financial advice. Sit down with somebody you're going to trust for a long period of time.
Yep.
Please don't judge them on price. Please don't judge them on, you know, is there somebody that's a nickel cheaper?
But make the comparison. It's okay.
Because that insurance agent you need to be with for the next 20 or 30 years, because it's not who's cheapest today. It's who can you get to at 9 or 10 o'clock at night when there's a problem. Or your tax advisor, it's not who's the cheapest to do your return. It's who do you trust the most that they're an accurate return in case there's an issue later?
Correct. You want, And will they stand by it?
And so, you know, again, we have shopped and commoditized everything so much that where's the relationship of somebody who's giving you great advice and willing to spend an hour or two with you? That's what I think I miss the most and what I enjoy the most out of our industry.
And we do. We're like you, though. I'll spend an hour with the customer, whether he buys anything or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, we got...
I'll still have coffee and cookies.
And I'll learn more about the industry. I'll learn more about the needs of customers. Mm-hmm. And he learns more about, availability of services to his cars and make the comparison. And we always went out with those. You got 30 seconds.
So there's a group of people, those that have served, are serving, family members have served. Those men and women deserve a better conversation. And there's lots of people who say the wrong things when it comes to VA loans and how that process is. That group of men and women that defend our freedoms, that allow you and I to have these conversations on air, allow us to do the things we do in the greatest country on earth in the greatest time in history. Thank you to those men and women for allowing us to do what we do. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.